is Chauncey Wimps.
And this is Tony Williams.
With What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey, welcome back, man.
From the motherland, man.
You know, we're going to have to kind of take a little detour today because I think Chauncey has some experiences that we need to hear about.
Yeah, brother, and, we had some pretty
good
experiences.
There'll probably be a little bit of spin from an economic standpoint, financial standpoint, but I think most importantly, we can get a firsthand account as, how the folks in Ghana live, what a daily ritual is like. And how many went over? How many went over on the trip?
We took about a total of 16 people. We took
16 people. Okay, yeah, adults and kids.
We took about 7 kids, and it was probably like several adults too. So okay. Then we had all the radio staff. You didn't go.
Nope, so I should have went.
I stayed back. So all the radio staff went, and several kids went, and a superintendent and her husband went from Muskegon Heights. And we had opportunity to possibly do some Muskegon kids, but, liability and all that. And I understand.
We're working on that. That's going to get worked on for next year.
Yeah, that's why I went. So, okay. I went so I could be able to say, hey, I'm radio staff, now. But now I'm a spokesman. That's what I told our superintendent the other day. It's totally safe, and I think that, man, it's the best opportunity, man, going over there to see, for one, currency with people down there that look like you.
Mm-hmm.
When you touch ground, everybody, engineers, people that's building the buildings, construction workers, police officers, people in the bank, from the homeless dude, from the dude riding the Range Rover, Mercedes Benz,
okay,
look like you.
The whole spectrum of from not so successful to very successful.
That's right.
Financially.
And the grind starts at 5:30 for everybody in the morning.
5:30, they hit the streets.
Because we're at the equator, so when 6 o'clock p.m. comes, it's like midnight here.
6 p.m.
It's midnight. That's not midnight, but it looked like pitch black. And then you're talking about a country that's only 60 years independent. They own a lot of electricity and things that we have, like streetlights and stuff, they don't have.
Right. Okay, then. So it's black. The infrastructure, the roads, like you say, the streetlights.
The plumbing,
The plumbing, all that stuff is really not.
Yes, it's developing, but it's not. But, man, they're building a lot, and it's worth being there. If you could have an opportunity to be over there with a nice little cash flow, you could do some great things over there.
Okay.
They got it going on. I didn't feel threatened over there. I felt loved.
Okay.
I had so much fun and just basking and being in that situation. But our day started every day at 5:30 in the morning, and I didn't take no money over there with me. I just told my bank that I'm going to be withdrawing some money because I wanted to go through the whole financial process.
Oh, that was cool.
I was able to use the ATM at certain banks like Barclays.
Okay, world-known Barclays.
World-known bank. They didn't kill me on the fees. They charged that little, I got charged like $3. I spent a total of $300 cash over there. That's $1,200 in their money.
American dollars, okay.
The exchange rate was like 4.2. So I bought some pretty good stuff, and I bought some stuff for my class, some stuff for my wife and some other students and stuff. And I'm almost out of that stuff, but
okay.
I got myself like 2 dashikis, authentics. That was pretty cool, but waking up at 5:30 in the morning, the things that were different to me, for one, seeing everybody that was in professional settings that looked like me.
Right.
On a university campus, went to the University of Ghana, the whole campus looked like me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
the professors, the students,
everybody,
staff, administrators, support staff. Right.
So somebody from coming from poverty in our country, being an urban area, and going over there, that mm-hmm. probably would boost their self-esteem and their encouragement when they go in their pocket and they can pull some money out and they got a face of somebody that look like them. That's empowerment. And I know we had some money that came back. We bought 3 CDs back. One of them got
CDs. That's their equivalent to our dollar.
Yeah, but it's not equal to a dollar. Like I said, it take probably like 4 of their dollars to make one.
Okay.
To make one of our dollars. So it's like a quarter. But it's a CD. It's called a dollar. But on the front of it, you see the six brothers on there that helped the 60 years of independence.
Okay.
And then one of the prominent figures we went to his museum, Kwame.
Kwame.
Yeah, Kwame.
It's a famous name in this
country.
Yeah,
the real Kwame, though.
It's
the Kwame working with Gaddafi and all of the great leaders, the China leaders and the Russian leaders, and trying to form an independence for Africa.
Okay.
This brother right here was on one of those brothers that was like, it's time to make a move. Africa going to be a powerful country.
And independent.
We all
know how the country was colonized
That's right.
by the Western world.
Correct, sir.
And basically went over there for all the natural resources.
Yes.
Okay, the gold, the silver, the copper, the nickel, whatever that precious metal is.
And they still got the resources. And when we went to the U.S. Embassy, they said the major exports are like cocoa, gold, you got shea butter. But they're raw materials. And they say the exports they have with the U.S. is $169 million. That's the export with raw materials, not processed.
Right.
So just imagine when the countries get it that and they process it, what they doing?
Oh, it's like tripling or doubling.
Because if you got pure gold and you can add something to it, like a silver or something, to make
some impurities.
Yeah, it still be gold.
Right.
But it's not gonna be the gold when you got 100%. The raw material. So they're giving us 100% stuff, and for a cheaper price. But they're not a developed country, so they're not getting their fair shake of funding.
Well, that's what always happens, especially when you do the conversion from currency.
Yes, sir.
Right? They're going to lose on that when the American come in there and they know what their currency is. They're not going to pay them equivalent to American dollars. They're going to pay them equivalent to the CD.
Yes.
Okay? So, therefore, they're going to be getting it at a bargain basement price, but yet they get it back to this country, and then they sell it at American dollars, which is four times what they would purchase it in Ghana. So right there, I mean, you got a 75% markup before you even process it.
You're right. And like, you know, fishing industry is big. A lot of industries that are big in raw materials. But the thing that puzzled me was this. Like, I'm looking at my community, and I say all these closed down factories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the coca plant is big over there making chocolate.
Cocoa.
Right? Cocoa.
Yeah. Yeah, chocolate, bars.
Medicine.
Cocoa meat,
right?
Yeah.
So when you process cocoa, you can get a lot of things out that we need in our
byproducts, a lot of byproducts from off cocoa.
And I thought, I said, well, if they got the raw material over in Ghana, why we don't have no factories in our communities where they could process the stuff and then there could be a fair trade in that area? But, you know, we got politics and we got other things that's blocking it. But I'll say, well, and then another thing in their country is they don't have nowhere to process their trash. And think about it, trash is expensive and it's a commodity because China buys trash from Detroit. I know that when Kwame Kilpatrick was going through
that. I know for a fact
they buy the trash and they take all the wire and copper and they take that and make other products out of it.
Yeah, it's like when you get products shipped to you and it has the paper and the stuff like that in it, that comes from China. Okay, they take all, like you say, they take all our trash, they process it, and they use it in the packaging and shipping, and you know how that has exploded.
That's right.
With ship-to-door type of economy, e-commerce.
Free trade agreement, that's booming to this day.
Yeah, and if we're throwing our garbage away, they're getting it for free, and then they turn around and sell it back to us.
That's right.
Through packaging byproducts.
Because they're buying the pennies on the dollar from us, because America got that deal with them where they buy our trash. I'm like, why is China buying our trash?
Because they can't do that for enough to know
that
it is a commodity.
It's a commodity. Ain't nothing going to get thrown away. So that was the process, but one thing I appreciated, like, I was observing it from an economic view, and like they say, they don't have everything is not up to par, as they say in our country. There's parts that's real good and there's parts that's sparse when it's dealing with healthcare, economics, ownership, and finances. But just getting at the part of when the brother is in a struggle, and we woke up at 5:30 every day, and our day ended at about 10 o'clock. I mean, every day we woke up at 5:30, I seen some of the same people out hustling.
Okay.
I mean, the lady that had the papaya juice, the guy that had the shades, I see the same people every day. Same hustle. I'm talking about, and they wasn't on no 8-hour shift. We talking about from 5 to the sun go down. They out
sun
selling.
Up, sun up to sundown.
They kids selling. Kids out there selling. I seen a guy trying to sell a puppy. And the way they, like, there was no convenience stores. If it was, it was really expensive. So I'm like, they ain't not making no
money. The 7-Eleven.
Yeah, they not making no money.
Okay. They're not making any money.
They're not making no money. Because the people had the power. And I was like, you'll see a guy, hypothetically speaking, let's take our major street in Muskegon. Let's take Getty. Let's take Laketon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take Henry. Now, let's say you going down Henry Street and you that middle part, the divider part where you could turn in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you don't have no Family Dollar, no Walgreens or stores like that.
Yeah, your Walmart or convenience stores, yeah.
But you ain't got a gas station. You got to go get some gas. On your way to get some gas, you might run into a guy that got some toilet paper.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
He on the street.
You might run into somebody with a guy they got a converter for your battery or your phone because you got to plug it into the European set. And they say, I got it.
Oh, yeah. Yes, a different.
I got them. I got a whole bunch of them. What kind you need?
Yeah.
I mean, we actually bought some from somebody on the side.
Okay.
You need some face cloths. Oh, I got them too. You want a map of Africa? I got them.
This is their street commerce.
Yes, and I'm talking about, and they they look for eye contact, and they like, hey, you need this?
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm looking at them like every day. But then I come to my country, and I see brothers and people begging.
Yeah.
I was willing to help. I'm like.
Right.
I mean, one time I know we gave somebody some money. Okay. They was like, what's this
for? They didn't ask for it.
Yeah, they was like, they were selling something. Like, no, yeah. Y'all trying to kidnap me or something? Right. Like, no, somebody was like, you're just a beautiful person and we appreciate your hustle.
Okay. So let me ask you a question then. In comparison, like you say, these folks get up, crack of dawn in the morning, and whatever their hustle is, that's what they go do. And they're religious and they're dedicated and they're committed.
Man, I'm talking about nonstop.
But you don't see the street corner beggar. Right. You don't see the person standing on the street.
Nobody begged me for nothing. Begging. Like when I was I needed the ATM, right? So I think PA and them in KFC. This is my first night there. So that we go out, we hang out, we go to the internet cafe because, you know, the internet is not up to par like ours. They got the bootleg internet.
Okay.
So certain areas is not strong, right? So but they got internet cafes where the internet is strong, where you got some laptops in the room and you just pay like $1.50 for an hour or something.
Okay.
You know, they got that. You can go on, check your email, things like that. So while they doing that, I'm like, let me go to this ATM. I see a Barclays ATM and I don't see a Barclays when I see another one. And I was like, I go to it, but I said, man, deny my car. I'm like, I'm trying. Like, Tony told me to come over. You told me to come over there and figure out the financial stuff. I'm like, man, right. I ain't got no money. I'm like, I got to get some money. So these two little dudes come to me and say, hey, man, what you need? I was like, I need another ATM that to set my card. He was like, but go over there. They said, they go, Edmonton take Americans. So I'm like, he's muffing to rob me or something.
Right, that's my next question. Mind.
Right? So I go up and I get the money out. And it's like, oh, can I get something? Me and my brother. Right, so I go in. We had somebody from Ghana with us. I was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna give him 20 CDs. That's like $5." He was like, "No,
way too much."
Yeah, he said, way "Give him much. 4 CDs, man.
A dollar. Give him a dollar."
Yeah, because okay. The average salary for somebody over there is like $200 a month.
CDs, 200 CDs.
That's right, 200 CDs a month.
Yeah, so when you do the conversion, it's $50 a month.
So if you give
American.
Him, so if you give him 4 CDs, he all right.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, like, give him 20. Them little boys were like, he gave me 20 CDs, mama.
Yeah.
So then they was like, okay, they took that. But I looked at that, and I was like, that was a hustle they had to help him tourists.
Helping tourists. Okay. Which, again, I think is legitimately okay.
Yeah, that was okay.
All right. And what you think they looked at you and realized that you were not from their country?
Man, I could dare
stand out like a sore thumb.
Polo shirt on. They had polo on too, but they polo man was bigger than mine. So.
Oh, really? Had the big polo man.
Yeah, I could notice the difference. So.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's just, you know, I had a polo shirt on and, you know, my dialect is different. Probably my walk and, you know.
Very many speak English?
They spoke Ga and they spoke their tribal language. You know, a lot of French is spoken there.
Okay.
Some British languages, but they said English is mandatory.
English is mandatory.
English is mandatory. So I was looking at my fact sheet, and I was like, yeah, English is mandatory because tourism is a major commerce of their country. It's almost like 38% of their income.
Okay.
So tourists coming in, they want to be able to sell products to us. Mm-hmm. I know we went to the market one day, and man, I love that. I don't know. That got me. Like, I feel like I was in the stock market in Ghana.
Oh, really?
Trying to buy products. Like, you go in the mall, they tax you. But you go in the market, it's like a flea market. Some of that same stuff you want at the mall is at the flea market.
Really?
So like drums, masks, you know, dashikis, you know, shea butter, shades, t-shirts, women's clothing. You can go there and you can negotiate. But they rush you though.
Oh, really?
They be on you. So if you're weak.
You're going to pay a higher.
You're going to pay a higher price.
Higher price.
So some of the brothers, young brothers that went with us, that was some of PA brothers, you know, PA is a chief in the village. He brought some of the young brothers that he'd been mentoring for over the years with us. So I had a cat with me, and he was testing me, seeing how I was. So the first day we go, they don't get me, but I'm like, I'm trying to fill him out. I'm just looking out for him. He's like,
right.
He said, I thought you were from the hood, Chauncey. I'm like, what?
I thought you were from the hood.
So So he tell me that, right? I said, wait till we go back tomorrow. Man, I went back tomorrow. I was like, look, they seen me. They're like, hey.
Oh, yeah,
he's
an easy
look,
one.
Look, I said, I got three CDs. I said, all I got is three CDs. I'm trying to get a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a bottle of water. Who's selling that? So then they say, what, you got 30? And then they were so relentless. They said, oh, it's okay. You got three CDs? Come over here. You can look for free. You can look for free, brother. I mean, I appreciated the mindset that they had. They was like, they was willing to be able to, like, I hustle. This is what I do, and I demand that out of myself. And just looking at the whole country of it developing, I mean, everything getting built new.
Okay.
You know, they say they're the largest, one of the largest exporters of our secondhand cars. They say if we have a hurricane here, a car floods out, they send them to places like that on boats.
Okay.
I mean, I seen Range Rovers and brand new Range Rovers and parking lots that look like them must get taken clean. Like sparkling new.
I wonder what the cost would be for one of those.
It's cheaper. They was like $7,000 American.
Yeah.
Brand new truck.
We basically was going to junk it.
Yeah, we was going to salvage title. We talked about that in the NPA talk. So salvage title. So you can get a salvage title 2014 for $7,000.
Okay. But see, in certain cases, you can't sell that car in this country.
That's
right. If that car is involved in a flood, for instance,
yes,
you can't sell that car to anybody in this country.
Okay? At all.
But a jobber, he can come through, he can buy it, he can put it on a boat and ship it overseas.
And they fix it and they do their thing.
Yeah, because the insurance company are going to pay them for the cars they lost in the
flood. And that's another thing. They say insurance only $25 a year.
$25 a year for automobile insurance.
I say, what?
Really?
I say, what's an accident? Like, hey, you got money?
Okay. I wonder what insurance company that is.
Yeah, I wonder that is too. And then I talked to them. I said, what about financing for properties?
Okay.
And loans and stuff. They're like, we don't got no social security number. I'm like, what? How you track y'all? They say, that's the problem. I say, we got chiefs and we got villages.
And they basically know who their tribal members are. And but again, I think that was a very legitimate question, because if this country is in an evolution of economic development growth, people need to obtain housing.
That's
of some
right.
sort.
So they use a village system, and this is how that works. Like, say, if you got some money, you want to buy some land, you could build you a compound, some land, but the chief got to give it to you. And when the chief give you land and you buy it, you buying it for your family, and you own it up to 99 years, one-time payment.
But you pay the chief.
Yeah, but you pay the chief and you pay taxes, but it's not, they're not killing you, but you get to keep the land. You got to build something within 99 years.
Okay.
Now, look, 99 years? So, like, we seen, like, big buildings, right? You know, they build compounds, so you got a fence.
Oh, yeah.
And then you got, like, a whole bunch of, because they don't believe in nobody being homeless. They might have a crib or, like, a plant, a compound with seven families living in it in one building. I don't care. You fall off, you go broke, you can always come back here. And, like, divorce rate is low because of the poverty of them. And nobody going to get a divorce. We need the man in the house. He drank. Don't come home for a month, two. But you still married to me. I ain't leaving you, baby. That family unit is strong.
It's strong, yeah. Brother, man. He come back 2 months later. He good. Come
on in.
Huh?
You still good. And I'm not condoning that, audience, but I'm just,
of course not,
I'm just sharing with you what goes on in our society.
Versus theirs.
They really are homogeneous, and they support their whole family, and they want you to become successful.
So we were talking earlier, and we're talking about some of the things that you just was truly amazed at, and it was the transportation of goods
that's right.
in this community. And I think the audience need to hear what their major mode of transportation is for transporting goods in Ghana.
The most extreme example I seen, you know how you take a core of a door, right? You know, a steel door. Like, you go to Home Depot, get one of them gray doors, they primed, and you somehow get in a fire or something, you able to go inside and get that foam core out.
Yep.
Fireproof. I saw a guy with that fireproof foam with 400 shades.
400 pair of shades?
On the top. And he was walking down the street carrying them on the top of his head without even touching it.
He had balance.
on his head.
Styrofoam with the glasses attached to the styrofoam.
That's right.
And he was walking down the street. He was selling. He was working.
Yeah, he was working. And then if you like what he had, he'll stop and be like, look.
He took his head.
And some kids bought some. He had to knock off Gucci's. They bought them. The Malcolm X frames. Right. The kids was like, I want them. Ray-Bans, he had every name brand you wanted. He had it on there.
He had them on there.
And people was buying them. 10 CDs. $2.50.
10 CDs?
Yes. $2.50. You was going to, come on, you see some shades you like with $2.50. You buying them?
Oh, of course.
That sun beaming.
You on the equator, man.
Man, that sun was like, you a boiled egg out here. Your eyes are fried. You with some shades, though. So he, man. They had stuff, and you be thinking like, oh, God, I'm thirsty. You be somebody walking with like, hey. And then the way the women balance stuff, they have a whole jug of water on their head with 50 bottle waters in it. Not even touching it, walking. In the middle of the, on the middle of Sherman.
In the middle of Sherman.
In the middle of Sherman.
And don't drop
nothing.
Don't drop a drop of water.
Turn everything.
Balance.
On their hustle. On their. Then everybody, I seen everybody riding in vans too, transporting, going to work, you know, flying.
Okay.
And then, like, you know how we had road rage and stuff like that?
Uh-huh.
They don't have that. Like, you'll see somebody, like, I see you in traffic and you cut in front of me, I'll just be like, beep, beep. That's it. That's all they do, beep, beep.
No hollering, you know, and cussing, throwing
like,
stuff.
Yeah, somebody cut in front of us, I'm like, yeah, but bus ride about to go off. He like, beep, beep.
Wave at it. Yeah, like, oh, have a good day.
I see you like, beep, beep, beep. Then sometimes we got to some intersections where I look like it's a street light supposed to be the one of your street light.
What about a stop sign?
Yeah, not even stop sign. The roundabout, right?
Oh, my God.
You know,
the roundabout.
The one that girl is about to kill people, right?
Right. They're talking about doing away with it.
Yeah. In Ghana, oh, they don't need no stoplight. They ain't need no arrows. They're like, no, next mug, no to go. They look at each other, pointing, smiling.
Okay.
I'm like, no accidents.
Really, just communication.
Yeah.
They're using the little facial and hand communications. Anybody giving nobody the finger.
That's right, nothing. Okay, all positive. But then they said they had one of the lowest crime populations in the continent of Africa.
Oh, now that says a lot. We know South Africa is ridiculous.
And then Nigeria is ridiculous, too.
Okay.
So I'm like looking at Ghana like, man, how do make those people so different than everybody else? They just know how to get along. And then something else that hurt me, I'm like, I didn't catch not an NBA Finals game.
You know,
because they love soccer. They football take over everything over there. We go to the mall, right? You know, we in the mall, and I have a bunch of dudes screaming and hollering. They're like, yeah, yeah, let's go. I'm like.
So they got to have a like, game
hooping,
on over there.
They hooping over there. I go up on like. The ball coming off his head. I'm like.
Huh?
They like, what are they going to fuck over this? So then I asked one of the guys, I said, yeah, what about basketball? They're like, we're too short. Ghana over there, they short.
Ghana too short to like basketball.
Somebody said I'm like LeBron James over there.
Oh,
like,
no, no, they did, man.
They said you compete LeBron James over in your country. I was like, that's he's 6'8". But some of the guys was like 5'5", 5'6". So I could see they were small and they were leaner.
Okay, you know?
So they considered me big. One guy walked to me and said, "Big arms." I was like, "Big arms? Really? My arms ain't big." And I looked at him. I was like, "You leaner than me. You smaller guy." So I was like, "Okay." So it's a different way. And then their diet. It's straight up organic.
Mm-hmm.
The water they drink, I'm even starting to focus on it, buying mineral water.
Okay, so their water supply probably.
Don't drink it.
Okay, that was a don't drink the water.
But everybody had alkaline water. It wasn't no regular bottled water that we see like we have here. Mm-hmm. It was alkaline with the minerals and vitamins in it. Everywhere we went, it's like, we were at the restaurant, give me a bottle, give me some water. Alkaline.
Okay.
Alkaline.
Interesting.
Yeah, come on.
And how was that priced? I mean, like here.
Nah, it was like $1.
You get a
look. I got one. I got a liter for $1.50. Alkaline water. That's expensive here.
For one
CD. I bought a gallon the other day from GNC. I was like, I'm buying me alkaline water. It was $5. I said, oh.
For a liter.
Yeah. And then I bought one in Ghana for $1 for a CD than 39.
Okay.
39 cents in Ghana money.
Wow.
It's like, it's only $1.39. I was like, what? This big old thing? Alkaline water, because you know alkaline water sometimes for people that's got like lupus and stuff like that, it helps
minerals.
Yeah, magnetize and gives them, you know, their pH balance in their body. So I'm like, it's expensive in our country, but I'm like, it's not expensive over there. I'm like, what's something not right?
Is that an imported product though? They import that? Do you think
they probably make it there? They probably make it there.
Yeah, okay.
Because they talk about the process and the filtering. When you look at the soil being red, the red clay, I can see why they probably get that. Well, through the filtration system, they get mineral water, then we get our fresh water.
Okay.
Because we got different aquifers, right?
Right.
So that can be a process, too. So I see that's a big thing for them, drinking mineral water and alkaline water.
Okay.
Yeah. Credit system. Like I said, credit system. It's like it's starting to happen though. I seen loans. I seen banks. I seen people riding around in cars. I seen every ad I seen though. People look like me. Advertisements. I bought some cologne called Africa. It smelled good. The center of Africa is like the continent of Africa on it. It smelled good. I mixed it with my shea butter. My wife said, "You smell like Africa, Mbata." Like, yeah, king. So she was cracking up. She was like, "You got the Africa cologne," but you know, and just looking at that. And then what's some other stuff? I saw an ad to say get a free $100,000 get free 100,000 CDs. I said, hold up, if you get a bank account. I said, that sounds like you're trying to get me to sign something over.
Really?
Yeah, you should get a free 100,000 CDs.
Okay.
If you get a bank account at our bank, we give you 100,000 CDs for free. That's what he said.
So there had to be
that's like 20,000 or something.
That minimum deposit, though. I mean, when you go in there to open up an account, of course you got to have some money.
But then you give me 100,000 CDs, Tony.
I mean, if you just
$20,000.
Yeah.
So but you don't have no credit though. So now if I give you 100,000 CDs, because you open a savings account. So what are they trying to teach over there? They trying to get them into the banking system with their money or what?
Absolutely. They're getting into the banking system, but I'd have to believe that there was some fine print to that giveaway.
But I see, when you, come on, like, in our country, you think about like this poster right here. It looked like this. It was like, had a guy smiling.
Of course.
It's like $100,000.
I'm happy.
Yep. Then it had a guy on a motorcycle. You can get this, 100,000, 15,000 CDs. I'm like, that ain't nothing but like $4,000 for that brand new bike.
Okay.
So I see a lot of products are cheaper than what we would pay, but their standard of living is.
Oh, my gosh, yes. It's a lot lower.
Yeah.
It's a lot lower, standard of living.
You could take $40,000 over there and be a king.
Oh, man, you live for real, you'd be a king. And it's sort of like you mentioned some of the things to help the audience put things in perspective. You did the KFC, right?
Yes.
You said they went to KFC. So you go in there. What kind of, you know, what kind of conversion or dollars you spending over there? And it's real chicken, I'm assuming.
Real chicken. You're looking at it more, it tastes different because, you know, they probably, that's funny saying that was in jams. That's that Big Rob. So they probably got the chicken back then. They cut the chicken up. They called the chicken in the back and like, you got this KFC for you. But no, they called French fries chips.
Oh, really?
Yep, and they give you Spanish rice. With your meal, everybody it had all you. The side item was Spanish rice or fries. Wasn't no mash, wasn't no green beans,
no coleslaw,
none of that.
Green bean, okay.
Nah, it was you gonna get this, some chips, and you gonna get some Spanish rice. That's what we
Interesting.
Eat.
Interesting.
And it was like 26 CDs, so that's about $8 meal. You know,
$8 meal. Yeah, like we got the $5 fill up.
Yeah.
That they have here in this country, it. The $5 fill up.
They got that. But then we also saw I saw this drink. I don't know if it ain't hit America. I don't think it's gonna ever hit America. It was a Kit Kat slush.
A Kit Kat slush. Now, was one of the brothers selling this?
They wanted them, too. That was like,
this is at a restaurant?
It was at KFC.
Oh, it was at KFC, and it was a Kit Kat slush.
Yep, Kit Kat slush.
Wow. Interesting.
A slush with Kit Kat in it. So, looking at that, I know Holiday Inn Express was there. Hotel. Our hotel was nice.
What about Mickey D's? At McDonald's?
No McDonald's.
No McDonald's. Okay, no McDonald's. That's interesting.
I didn't see a lot of pork over there. I saw a lot of lamb, a lot of goat, a lot of goat consumption, beef, Turkish restaurants, African restaurants, we went to Jamaican restaurants. All the food was good, man. I enjoyed my experience. Now when I see an African restaurant, when I go down to Detroit, downtown Detroit or Chicago, or if I'm in Grand Rapids, I see African restaurant, I'm going to stop buying.
You know how to order now.
I know how to order. I know what I want.
Right, right.
You know, I like my food spicy with the natural organic in it.
Okay.
You know, I always been eating Jamaican food, but like just having that experience, I really appreciate the experience PA helped, how he orchestrated this. And because I had an opportunity to go in 2011, but it fell through. I'm glad I went with this group because I got a chance to go with people from my community that I can see and we can laugh and talk about, you know, just being empowered in our homeland. And last time I was going to go, it was going to be with a group of people from Detroit and Grand Rapids. We only took one kid from Muskegon. I was the only person from Muskegon. So it was like,
okay.
I want to be able to share like the money I got today. I got from Mehan. And I remember, see, they, you know, I don't club no more, Tony.
So right.
They went to the club. Right?
Oh, they went to the club. Yeah, okay, I got to hear about the club.
So I want to know that money experience with the club. So because, you know, they DJs and hip-hop artists.
Right,
so
right.
They go and perform, right? They probably gonna get me.
That's all right.
So they going before. So you know the electricity conversion is different. So it's like the wattage is different. So
right, you don't get that.
So Mehan fry his his Apple, he don't mess it up, but he's like, it's shorted out because it's too much currency going through it.
There's no regulation on it,
man. DJed for about 30 minutes probably. Then all right. Perform. But then they, I think they had bought some beverages and stuff, you know, in the club. So, you know, you VIP.
Right.
So, but then when you in Ghana, they want American money in the club, though.
Ooh, so they smart people, yes. Smart people.
So they bill was extremely high. That was funny on how they got back and talking about that story. I wasn't there, but they told me they got back. I was like, that's why I don't club no more. I told them.
Okay. Yeah. Like, it was like sticker shock. They were a little shocked when they got the bill, sticker maybe. Shock.
They was like,
what?
American Ghana money. You know, CDs? No, it was American dollars. They was like, whoa.
You got to make sure you got that conversion thing down, man, because they'll get you.
Yeah, they tried to get them.
They'll
so
get you, man.
Just looking at that experience, man, it was a great experience. The credit experience, the banking, just being able to see that. The way police set up things, they set up barricades, you know, just to make sure they checking everybody. People hang out in their yard a lot.
They hang out in the yard.
They club in their yard. I seen flat screens in people's yards at night. And I seen a guy, he had a table in his yard with number fifths on it.
He had a bar.
Yeah, but it was a regular table.
What is a regular
like
table?
With like about 100 fifths of different, all different kinds.
Selling it. Well, hey, that was what we talked about earlier.
And it had the soccer screen going on, okay. A big screen, yes.
So that was their sports bar.
Man, it wasn't okay. Was it a sports bar. It was crazy.
So fellas come over, watch soccer game, buy a drink.
But I'm thinking like, okay. Hold up, in my neighborhood, you couldn't do that. The no, police show up like, hold on, what you doing?
Right. Right, plus don't know how long your flex screen going to stay out there either.
Yeah, it was out there. All that had the strobe light going, everything.
So what's the temperature at night?
Man, it was hot. It was like 90 at night.
90 at night.
Because remember, the sun go down. Yeah, the sun go down at 6, right? So it's blacker than a mug at 6. And then they say you can hang out to like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
So then when Saturday morning came, I'm like, man, why everybody jogging? So I counted 75 men jogging on my way to the Slade Castle. So I'm like, man, these all these guys jogging. They on some team. It's like, no, Friday night they get drunk.
They're getting their system cleaned out.
They're getting their system. I say, why we don't do that in our country?
Well, we win the Boston. They always come over and win the Boston Marathon. I tell you that.
They outrun
them. Them African brothers come out there and get it.
Yes, they
but
do.
No, man, we're not going to get up on Saturday morning and run.
But I do my little workout, but I ain't finna run like that. But
In that heat.
Yeah, it was hot. So got a chance at Big Rock. You work out today? I'm like, no, I ain't work out. I did some push-ups and sit-ups. I ain't running outside and that side stuff. But
man,
what
a great experience. Man,
great experience. Everything was good. UMS Embassy. Got a different name. I got a they had a name and ceremony. My name is Kwasi.
Kwasi.
Born on Sunday. So that's my name. Did that experience. Man, I'm thankful for everything and what I'm gonna keep on learning and keep on researching. I know I will be going back.
Good.
Going back to that school to help those kids that we helped in the village. We wanna be able to probably teach some teachers some practices and things that I know. I think I know a little bit about teaching. I think I do.
I think you do,
yeah,
too.
You know,
I think you got a pretty good handle on it.
I teach somebody their ABCs. I know
okay.
that. So we do some things like that. I would love to get back to the motherland and in that capacity if I could through the Rotary or something. So awesome, I like it. Man. I see myself being probably later on retiring or something like that in that area.
Okay.
Just being in that area. I could do that.
Well, I gotta convince, calling, man.
Yeah, I got to convince my wife doing it, but she probably like, you crazy.
No, she'll go with you.
Yeah,
she'll go with you.
Yeah, but that's it, man. We could probably do another day.
I think we need to. There's some other things that we need to cover, and I think our audience will probably find it very interesting. So I think they would be willing to give us one more show to talk about your trip to Ghana. And I'm pretty sure during the week, PA Show and Big Rob, Mickey and Mion, that they'll continue to talk about their trip to Ghana. The audience can still glean more information from you guys' experience.
Yes, sir.
And who knows, next year when this trip come around, you may have twice as many people that's ready to go because you've piqued their interest.
I mean, and then
traveling to Ghana.
More sponsors.
That's absolutely. Awesome. And I heard that the community really did a great job of supporting.
Yes, they did.
The kids that went, and that is absolutely amazing. That is great.
Man, they supported a lot, man. Without this community, none of this wouldn't happen. And people talk about people in this community don't get behind. They do. I got tons of customers in this community and people that trust me with their kids. It's a lot of love here. And
great.
Just a lot of times when negativity comes up, people try to wash it out. But I see it. It's a lot of positivity and love. All you got to do is go to a different city and say you're from Muskegon, and you'll see what have people open their door for you.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Because that's what happened in Ghana. That's what happened in Ghana. Michelle. She's from here. She went to Muskegon Catholic. She went to Muskegon. She went to Loftus when the elementary school.
And oh, okay.
We was in her mansion just chilling.
Really?
I mean, it was like being in Muskegon, somebody's house.
Okay.
You know, it was beautiful.
Very interesting, man. Opening.
All the restaurants we went to, she the one referred us to them. They gave us great discounts, and kids ate good. We ate at a restaurant. They had crocodile in the water swimming.
Really? Now, that had to be an experience.
Yeah, the food was good. I wasn't even thinking about the crocodile. I was thinking about that fish and how they season that fish. Like, how do y'all season this fish so good? Forget the crocodile. I ain't thinking about no crocodile. I'm thinking about some more fish in that jerk chicken in your head. And that, okay. Man, good stuff, man, Tony.
Fantastic.
So they're going to talk more about the credit industry.
Yeah, and the culture, the finances. Yep. Maybe even get more into the school system, higher education, government, and talk about city, local, federal government. So, yeah, there's a number of things that we can continue to talk about in our next show.
Yes, sir.
But I think that is it for the day. I am Tony Williams.
And I'm Chauncey Williams. This is What Do I Do Now? This is What I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and plan for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.